Our passages this morning are Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 20, and then Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Beginning in Hebrews 6, 13 through 20, let us hear God's word. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, "I will surely bless you and give you many descendants." And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to the argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek. And then reading from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, you are so good to us. You bless us in the heavenly realms with every blessing in and through Jesus Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continually to do that. You will do that right now. That through the preaching and the hearing of your word, you would uplift Christ before us. That we may worship him. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The definition of the word surprise. The definition of the word surprise, according to Webster, is this: to strike with wonder and amazement, or the unexpected, or to cause astonishment. Well, for the past 3 years, there has been a big surprise in our society. Donald Trump became president. Nobody could see this happening. Everybody thought somebody else would get the Republican nomination. And then when the election came around, everybody thought that somebody else would be elected. They were astonished. Their defeat was unexpected. Because for years and years, they thought they had the heartbeat of society. They thought that they knew what our society really wanted. But then the bubble was burst. They were surprised. And then to add to their confusion and anger, the liberal media, which ironically is the voice of the cultural elite, they took a poll to find out how this could have happened. And 83% of those who voted for Donald Trump did so for morality purposes. Morality purpose. So the big surprise was not just who was elected, but why he was elected. The big surprise is that values and morality had such a big impact on the election. Well, others were surprised, but the church shouldn't be surprised. We should never be surprised that God keeps his promises. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You see, it's not an issue of Democrats versus the Republicans. For if all those who voted for the Republican candidate, if the issues had been changed, in other words, if what the Republicans wanted was what was being wanted by the Democrats, and what the Democrats was wanting to be done by the Republicans, then we would have had a Democratic president. It's not a matter of political party. But for the church, for the Christian, it is a matter of righteousness. The desire for righteousness can never be divorced from practical living. The desire for righteousness is always played out in relationships. Relationships with God. You desire to be delivered from your sin. You desire to be delivered from your unrighteousness. So you hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Christ. You repent and put your faith in Christ. Or maybe a relationship with your neighbor. Because you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you seek to love your neighbor as yourself. If there's been a problem, forgiveness takes place. The relationship is restored. You see, that's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Or in the case of political elections, because Christians are called to be salt and light in the world, because Christians want to display the kingdom of God and to display the righteousness of Christ in their culture, they vote for those political leaders who they think can best establish and maintain righteousness in the culture. You see, to hunger and thirst after righteousness is never divorced from relationships. Relationships with God, relationship with each other, relationship with the culture. The Christian hungers and thirsts for righteousness in his own heart, and he hungers and thirsts for righteousness in the society that he lives. The Christian's longing is for the practice of righteousness, because that reflects the kingdom of God. That reflects the mind of Christ. That reflects our King and Savior. Thus, to the best of his ability, the Christian seeks to establish the kingdom of God and his righteousness in our own hearts, in our home, in our church, in our community, and in the country as a whole. The issues of abortion and homosexuality were issues of righteousness versus unrighteousness that Christians were compelled, they felt compelled to vote against. Thus, one of the overwhelming reasons that the Christian community predominantly voted for Donald Trump was because of the church's hunger and thirst after righteousness. And because of such a hunger for righteousness by the church, temporarily, for the time being, God has granted the desire of the heart. The church has been fed. In a sense, the church has been filled with righteousness. It was a surprise to all the liberals that morality played such a big issue in the election. No, but it should never be a surprise to the church, because Christ's word tells us so. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. The psalmist puts it this way. He satisfies the thirsty. God satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Psalm 22, the poor will eat and be satisfied. You see, God never, never bids us to seek him in vain. Listen to the prophet Isaiah. God speaking through the prophet says, I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in the land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Let me ask you this morning. Has the Lord not spoken? And shall it not come to pass? Has he not spoken explicitly about hungering and thirsting after righteousness? And how those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled? If God has promised, it will come to pass. Oh no, it should not surprise us that God gives righteousness to those who hunger and thirst for it. The scriptures say from 1 Samuel, he who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. You see, God's word is sure. God has, in a sense, wagered his deity to ensure that all that he has promised comes to pass. Abraham is sitting by the fire. And God comes to him in what we call a theophany, okay? In other words, it is a manifestation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And there, a lamb is placed upon the fire. And it is burnt up. And the purpose of that was that God was giving his word to Abraham that what God had promised to Abraham would come to pass. Hebrews tells us, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. It is impossible for God to lie. Thus God confirmed his promise with an oath to greatly encourage us who have fled to take hold of the promise. We have this hope, the hope of God, the truthfulness of God, the righteousness of God as an anchor for our souls, firm and secure. What do we use an anchor for? An anchor is used to keep something in place against a great resistance. A boat has an anchor. The anchor keeps the boat steady in the midst of strong waves and strong wind. In the same way, God's word is to be used as an anchor for our hearts. Because he has promised. But what we see seems to be like God has gotten up and left and not keeping his promises. But his word is true. And in his way, and in his timing, he will fulfill all that he has promised. And because God's people hunger and thirst for righteousness in relationships with one another and relationships with government, because we believe God will fill the longing of the soul, we're not then swayed by what the culture says. Instead, the church waits patiently upon God. God's word is an anchor for us, for our souls. We stand firm in the midst of the storm. No, it should not ever surprise us that God satisfies the longings of righteousness. Why is that? Why should we not be surprised? Well, not only has he promised to fill us with righteousness, but my friend, he is the fountain and the source of righteousness. I can promise you that I'll give you $1 million. You'd like that, wouldn't you? What's the problem with that? I can promise you that all day long. I do not have the resources to bring about
that which I've promised. But God is self-sufficient. He is not dependent upon anything outside of Himself to exist. He is not dependent upon anyone. Psalm 36, "For you are the fountain of light. In your light we see light." The psalmist says he is able to see light. He is able to discern right and wrong. Why? Because God has given him the ability to see right and wrong. Because God is the foundation of truth and goodness. Truth and goodness flow from God like a creek flows from a spring in the ground. Righteousness flows from God Himself. Once again, let me remind you of what the prophet Isaiah says. In the Lord alone are righteousness and strength. Psalm 89, righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Psalm 48, your right hand is filled with righteousness. Psalm 145, the Lord is righteous in all His ways. Psalm 23, He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You can't lead someone along a path. You can't guide them along the path unless you know the path. God can lead you in the paths of righteousness because He is righteous. He is the foundation. He is the source of all righteousness. The fullness of righteousness in God is an infinite fullness. See, the fullness of the creature is mutable. It changes. I can say one moment, "Oh, I just can't eat another biscuit because I'm so full." But there will come a time when I can eat another biscuit because my fullness has given way to emptiness. The blossoms of a peach tree, at one time, they're full, but they will wilt and they will fall away. But God is righteous. And though He may fill us up with righteousness, yet He is never emptied of any righteousness. Kind of like the sun, it shines, but it never has any less light. So God can fill us with righteousness, yet He Himself is not ever any less righteous. He does not change. He is never exhausted or drained. His fullness overflows, and it is ever flowing. Oh yeah, others were surprised. But it should never surprise us that God fills those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why so? Because He is the one who has stirred up your desire, your hunger and thirst for righteousness in the first place. Listen to what Paul tells the Philippians. He who began a good work in you is faithful to bring it to completion. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. God has planted a holy desire in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, through what we talked about in Sunday school, because we have the mind of Christ. God has planted a holy desire in us, the very mind of Christ, and He will satisfy the desires of the mind of Christ. Just think about prayer. When God, in His eternal decree, in His providence, when God desires, when He's ready to bring something to pass, He says He will not do it unless His church prays for it. But when He is ready to bring it to pass, guess what He does? He sends the Holy Spirit to give the church a desire to pray for the very thing that He has promised He's going to do. Did we pray for it? Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Yes. But the hungering and thirsting after righteousness does not originate within us. It comes from Jesus Christ. And when we begin to pray for that,
Oh, when we begin to pray for hungering and thirsting after righteousness, it's as if God gets up from the throne and says, now I'm going to act because I hear the cries of my people. Oh, it should never surprise us that God fills those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, that He fills them with righteousness. Others are surprised. It should never surprise us. And it should never surprise us because we are His children. If your child was hungry, would you just shoo, get away, go outside? No, if your child was hungry, you would not let your child go without. God's children, when they hunger and thirst for the bread of the earth, He sends the manna. He provides for what you need. Even more so when you hunger and thirst after righteousness because you are the children of God. He will fill you with righteousness. No, it should not surprise us that God fills those who hunger and thirst after righteousness with righteousness. Now you may say, well, I have thirsted for righteousness in my relationships. I have thirsted for righteousness in my society. But I haven't been filled. Maybe God doesn't really keep His promises. Now you say that you hunger and thirst after righteousness, but you're not satisfied. Maybe what you hunger and thirst for is not the righteousness of God. Maybe what you really hunger and thirst for is a self-righteousness before others. You see, a person can hunger for the world and never be filled. The world is fading. It's not filling. God could give you the entire universe, and your heart would never be satisfied. But he who hungers and thirsts after the righteousness of God will be satisfied, because God is faithful to His promises. You say that you have opened your mouth, but you've not been fed. Well, my friend, before you open your mouth, maybe you need to open your heart to the Word of God. Maybe you need to open your ears to what He is saying to you. You cannot love the world and love Christ. One you will love, the other you will hate. You will never have the blessings of heaven as long as your focus is the blessings of the earth. Israel, the nation of Israel, they had no manna from heaven as long as they were satisfied with what was in Egypt. They had to turn their backs on Egypt in order to be fed with the bread of heaven. My friend, you must turn your back on this world if you are to be fed with the righteousness of God. But if you truly hunger and thirst after righteousness, though for a time you may not be filled right now, the Scriptures tell you to wait. To wait and trust. And in time, God will fill you with righteousness. As His compassions never fail, so neither does His promises to you. Oh yeah, others were surprised
that righteousness was an issue in the election. But we should never be surprised that righteousness is an issue, because God has promised that if we hunger and thirst for it, He will fill us with it. Let us pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Your good and sure promises. The promises that You have secured for us in the work of Your Son, Jesus Christ. The promises of being filled when we hunger and thirst after righteousness. That when we desire Your righteousness to be manifested in all of our relationships, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, You will fill us. Oh, Heavenly Father, fill us today, fill us tomorrow. Fill us, Heavenly Father, always with a hunger and thirst after Your righteousness. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.